Warning, you are about to listen to a life-changing session of the Think and Grow Rich Global Mastermind audio training series. Any mind-blowing income, health, happiness, and otherwise earth-shattering testimonials of complete transformation are not meant to serve as a guarantee of what will happen in your life as you continue to plug into these audios. Rather, they're meant to give you an idea of what's possible. Bear in mind, results are not guaranteed, they are earned. Be forewarned, common side effects to listening to these audios may include increased mental alertness, random and unexplained feelings of joy, a crystal clear sense of purpose in life, spontaneous outbursts of laughter, obscene amounts of new and exciting monetary deposits, and other ridiculously awesome symptoms of living a purpose-filled life. Please enjoy the show.
Walter Bayat said, "Public opinion is a permeating influence, and it exacts obedience to itself. It requires us to drink other men's thoughts, to speak other men's words, and to follow other men's habits."
There we go. Well, ladies and gentlemen, happy day to you. I hope you're having an amazing morning so far. If you're joining us live, maybe you're listening to the replay. And if that's the case, I hope you are having an amazing day today. It is another great day to be alive. It's Think and Grow Rich Thursday, we like to call it here in our Think and Grow Rich community, May 18th, 2017. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Thank you so much for joining us today. I truly believe that something that is going to come through the line today, I really think can bless you, can lift you, can inspire you, can motivate you, can instruct you, to encourage you to keep moving forward. And how do I know that? Well, I know that because it seems to me that that's the purpose of why we gather here together every single day. We are the Think and Grow Rich family. We are a group of entrepreneurs, freedom crusaders, home business builders scattered from various locations throughout the world who come here every day, Monday through Friday, to associate with one another, to fellowship with one another, to mastermind with one another, to learn with one another as we continue to study the laws of success as laid down for us by Dr. Napoleon Hill. And it's a beautiful thing that we do here every day here together. We're here to serve each other in a specific way. And speaking of service, to kind of kick off the mastermind, I wanted to share a thought with you guys before we get into the regularly scheduled program today. I had an opportunity yesterday to watch a movie that I had not seen all the way through before. The movie is called The Shift, and it has a Dr. Wayne Dyer in it. And it's an actual movie. It's got characters and storylines, and it's got some of Wayne Dyer's philosophy, you know, scattered throughout the movie. And it was a really great movie. I recommend it. If you haven't seen it, you can catch it for free on YouTube, The Shift. Just look that up, and you can check it out. I'll put it in the show notes of today's Mastermind as well. But one line, a lot of great stuff in that movie, but one line stuck out to me that I want to pass along to you guys and gals this morning. Maybe it's sort of an opening thought for us to consider as we start our days here collectively together. And the thought is this. There's a point in the movie where Dr. Wayne Dyer says, "No one needs to question what is my purpose. It will always be found in service." And that was an astounding statement to me for a couple of reasons. Number one, because it seems like don't we all ask ourselves that question? What is my purpose? What is my purpose in life? What am I supposed to do? Who am I supposed to be? Who am I supposed to become? What is my destiny here? It seems like this common question that we all have and sometimes wrestle with, you know, at various phases throughout our career. And in that statement that Dr. Wayne passed along, he says, no one needs to ask that question. What is my purpose? Because it will always be found in service. And isn't there some profound truth to that statement? What if we all woke up every day, today, for example, we've all got a new day ahead of us, those of us who are here live. And what if we made it our one job to serve someone today, to serve the people around us today? I wonder how our lives could be different. I wonder how our businesses could be a little bit different if we just asked ourselves that question. How can I serve someone? And maybe how can I provide a new and better levels of service to the people around me? Interesting thought to consider. Because I'll tell you what, sometimes it seems like for those of us in business, we've got our goals that drive us, and we've got our to-do lists, and we've got our plans that are all good and well, right? Like we need them. I think they're great. I think goals, I think plans, I think to-do lists, they're all really, really great. But doesn't it seem like sometimes they can become our taskmaster, right? Doesn't it seem like sometimes they can really drive us and sometimes they can stress us out a little bit? And so maybe it's good every once in a while to just relax a little bit on some of that stuff and say, hey, you know what? I'm going to show up and I'm going to serve people today. I'm going to smile today. I'm just going to do the best that I can to make my day a day of fulfillment. You know, goals and plans be damned, right? sorry for the cursing, right? Sorry for the cursing. But it's just an interesting thought to think about, isn't it? Service, right? And we're here in our community to serve. That's the reason that we show up here every day. It's the reason we have various hosts come out and contribute. It's the reason we have great entrepreneurs like Dan McCall and others who come out in the mastermind portion to share their ideas and their insights. It's because we're all here to serve. And how are we here to serve? Well, I mentioned a little bit here as we got the mastermind kicked off today, but we're here to provide a home base for people. We're here to provide a community where people who are out there in business don't have to feel like they're alone. You know, they can come here, they can associate, they can realize that they're not the only crazy ones out there that believe that financial freedom is a great thing to go through for, and financial freedom is a great thing to continue stepping forward for, right? So we're here to serve in those ways. We're here to serve in continuing to keep the words of Dr. Napoleon Hill alive as we continue to cycle through his information. And we're here to inspire principle-centered leadership. You know, we're here to inspire ourselves and all of the people around us and all the people that we're doing business with now, and maybe even the people that we want to do business with in the future. We're here to inspire a principle-centered leadership in all of those people so that when we do business with the right people and we do business in the right ways. And as a matter of fact, that has a little bit to do with the message that we're going to cover today from Dr. Napoleon Hill. You know, there's this big, long section that we've been going through. We're in the Law of Success. And by the way, if you're new to what we do, you can grab that on our website at growrichaudios.com in the free download section. But we're going through the Laws of Success, this big 11, 1,200, 1,300-page book. And we're on the Law of Concentration right now. And for the last couple of days and even for today, Dr. Napoleon Hill, for some reason, has been delving into this, for some, could be considered a really strange topic, right? The psychology of religious revivalism, right? It's an interesting thing to think about. And I've been asking myself as we've been going through this information over the past few days, you know, what does this have to do with success? What does this have to do with going out there and making it happen in business? And I'm not 100% sure why Dr. Hill included this information inside of the book. However, I think maybe I have an inkling, and I think it does have to do with principle-centered leadership. And I kind of want to ask all of us to be thinking about this as we go through this information today. And again, some of this might be a little bit difficult to go through, but again, I want to promise you guys, if you'll listen and pay attention, I really have a feeling that something can come through the line today that can teach, can inspire, can lift, and help us to continue stepping forward into freedom. So I want to challenge you to, number one, look for one thing in the mastermind today that can help you in your life, that can help you in your business. And chances are really high that if you make that part of your intention for the opening of this mastermind today, that you'll find it. You'll come away with one thing that you'll just be like, wow, I can jot that down in my journal, or wow, I can put that in my tool belt and use that as I'm moving forward so that I can find success and happiness, so that I can make money in business, so that I can be free, and so that I can enjoy my life and feel good about the things that I'm doing in business and in the world. So maybe have that as an intention. But then the other thing, back to, you know, why Dr. Napoleon Hill included this stuff that we're going to go through today, I want to ask you a few questions to maybe be thinking about. Because on our roads to success in business, regardless of what type of business we're building, home-based business, network marketing, affiliate marketing, e-commerce, traditional business, real estate, right? Business is about working with people, isn't it? Regardless of what type of business you're in. And here's the question that sometimes comes up, and I want us to maybe all be thinking about this and maybe asking ourselves, is this maybe why Dr. Napoleon Hill included this stuff about religious revivalism? Because there are different forms of influence, aren't there, as we're endeavoring to influence people to buy into what we're doing and align with us in our various missions and purposes in life. And the question to be thinking about is, do we want to influence people regardless of tactic? Do we want to influence the wrong people to join us? Do we want to influence people to buy our products and services and join in our crusade regardless of whether or not it's right for them? Does it matter the tactics that we use to influence people? In other words, let me put this question a little bit more plainly. I remember when I first got started in business, and my deepest desire was to get someone to join me, right? Like I went a long time without having any success. My first 12 months in network marketing, I made zero money. No money after 12 months, not even one penny. And that was despite doing like everything that I thought I was supposed to be doing. And I remember one of my deepest desires back then was, please let me figure out how can I induce someone to join me, to buy my product, to get started in my business. What can I do? Please, if there was a magic button that I could push to make people join me, please show me the button. Where is it? What can I do to make this happen? But here's the question that I want us to maybe all be thinking about as we get into this topic today. If there was a magic button that you could push to force people to join you, if there was a set of strings that you could pull to hypnotize someone against their will to join your business and buy your products and services, is that something that you would want to discover? Number one, is it something that would be right to utilize for yourself and them, right? And would it be a good way to build your business? This is an interesting question to ponder. And maybe we can be thinking about that as we get into the study and reading today. But first, what I want to do here real quick is I want to unmute the lines, and I want to see how you guys are feeling today. Are you excited to be alive? Are you grateful to be here? Are you excited to learn today? Are you excited to contribute? Are you excited to associate with other Freedom Crusaders just like you? And if you are, let me hear you as I unmute the lines. Then we'll get into our major definite purpose self-confidence formula, and then we'll get right into the reading. So how you guys feeling today? I'm going to unmute the lines here. You all sound really awesome and beautiful and full of life, which is as we should feel each day, right? So thank you for giving us some of that energy and excitement in life today. So star six, who can lead us through the definite purpose and self-confidence formula? Come on out. That document is on our website at growrichaudios.com. You can download that document for free and highly encourage you to do that if you don't already have it.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I'm just doing terrific, Paul. How is everything with
Jessie?
You?
Yes. Hey, how you doing?
I'm fantastic. So let me take and get this started. Okay. By the first day of... I have in my possession an incredible personal amount of residual monthly income, which will come to me in various amounts from time to time during the interim. In exchange for this money, I will give the most efficient service of which I am capable, rendering the fullest possible quantity and the best possible quality of service in the capacity of. I believe that I have this money in my possession. My faith and my knowing is so strong that I can now see this money before my eyes. I can touch it with my hands. It is now awaiting transfer to me at the time and in the proportion that I deliver the service I am rendering for it. I'm awaiting continuous plans by which to accumulate this money, and I am following these plans as they are received. Self-confidence formula. First, I know that I have the ability to achieve the object of my definite purpose in life. Therefore, I demand of myself persistent, continuous action towards its attainment. I here and now promise to render such action. Second, I realize the dominating thoughts of my mind reproduce themselves in outward physical action and transform themselves into physical reality. Therefore, I will concentrate my thoughts for 30 minutes daily upon the task of thinking of the person I'm becoming, thereby creating in my mind a clear mental picture of that awesome person. Third, I know through the principle of autosuggestion, any desire that I persistently hold in my mind will seek expression through some practical means of attaining the object back of it. Therefore, I will devote 10 minutes daily to demanding of myself the development of more self-confidence. Fourth, I have clearly written down a description of my definite chief aim in life, and I will never stop endeavoring until I shall have developed sufficient self-confidence for its attainment. Fifth, I fully realize that no wealth or position can long endure unless built upon truth and justice. Therefore, I engage only in transactions which benefit all whom it affects. I will succeed by attracting to myself the forces I wish to be blessed by and the cooperation of other people. I induce others to be of service because of my willingness to serve. I will eliminate hatred, envy, jealousy, selfishness, and cynicism by developing more love for all humanity because I know that a negative attitude towards others can never bring me success. I will cause others to believe in me because I will believe in them and in myself. I have signed my name to this formula, committed it to memory, and I repeat it aloud once or more a day with full faith and knowing that it influences my thoughts and actions as I am becoming an even more self-reliant and successful person. And this is my modified version of the Napoleon Hill prayer. O Divine Providence, I am so grateful for all the riches you have already bestowed on me. And I do ask for more riches and for more wisdom with which to make wiser use of the riches you gave me at birth, consisting in the power to control and direct my own mind to whatever ends I might desire. Amen. Back to you, Paul.
Amen, awesome. Jesse Jenkins. Can you hear me okay still?
Yes, yes.
Okay, awesome. So, hey, Jesse, I want to give you a shout-out on two accounts today. First account is, I believe you finished the community book of the month, which is Awaken the Giant Within, right? You got it done. Just boom, knocked it out. So, woohoo, that's amazing. I think I'm only on page 141 or 151 maybe after this morning. So congratulations on just leading the charge and getting that knocked out of the way. And then the second thing, I wanted to congratulate you and highlight you for tweaking a little bit of the wording in the self-confidence formula today. I don't know if you guys pick that up. But there's that part in there where it says the forces I wish to use, and Jesse said the forces I wish to be blessed by. And I appreciate that for a couple of reasons. The big one, though, is because Robert Kiyosaki, in some of his books, you know, he says that his dad taught him that intelligence is the ability to make finer distinctions. When I was watching this Tony Robbins documentary this last weekend, one of the things that I noticed him talking about was he says, let's see if we can make some finer distinctions, right? And that was like a big thing of Tony Robbins. Dan McCall, on one of our calls from earlier this week, talked about how information and education, knowledge has different levels of awareness. So making finer distinctions seems to be a really great thing to do. And I just love your example of making that finer distinction and swapping out that word use, right? Maybe that didn't resonate with your spirit. So you swapped it out and said the forces that I wish to be blessed by. And I just think that's awesome. So shout out to you, Jesse. Thank you for contributing to us so much and being a great example. I believe in you, and I know I'm not the only one. So ladies and gentlemen, hold on here. If you believe in Jesse Jenkins, let's let her know.
Thank you,
Jesse. Hold on, guys. Do you really believe in Jesse Jenkins? Let's let her know how much we know she can go forth and do the things that she wants to do in life, guys. I'm going to give her one more. Let me unmute the lines again. All right. Another thing we do here, guys, we believe in each other. We believe in each other. So let's go ahead and jump into the study today where we're going to continue to learn about the religious revival. Kind of exciting stuff, right? Interesting to think about. And we're on page 930 and 1170 of the ebook copy. And again, just tune in, open up. Maybe, some of this stuff, we might have to, you know, struggle through some of these parts a little bit, but it's okay, right? There's going to be something here for all of us, I really believe. So here's what Dr. Napoleon Hill writes. He says, in the revival, the person giving the suggestions has the advantage of breaking down the resistance of his audience by arousing their sentiments and emotions. Now, I want to pause for just a second and tell you guys just a quick little story from my personal background. I've got one of my good friends that I grew up with. He's an audio technician, an audio engineer, and down in Phoenix, Arizona, he would go into like casinos and redo their audio and visual, these huge casinos, do these huge jobs, and he also would get called into some of these big churches down there. And here's just something that was interesting that maybe relates a little bit. I remember him telling me, he said, Paul, it's just so crazy how some of these churches, not all of them, of course, but some of them, he said he would go in there and all of the music, all of the video, the audio, the programming, here's what his impression was. He says it's all carefully crafted to manipulate people. Not all of the churches, but some of them. And that was his comment to me. He was blown away by some of this stuff was just carefully crafted to manipulate people. So just something to think about as we're going through this. He continues on here. He says, tales depicting the influence of mother, home, and heaven. Songs like Tell Mother I'll Be There and personal appeals to the revered associations of one's past and early life tend to reduce one to the state of emotional response and render him most susceptible to strong, repeated suggestions along the same line. Young people and hysterical women are especially susceptible to this form of emotional suggestion. Their feelings are stirred, and the will is influenced by the preaching, the songs, and the personal appeals of the co-workers of the revivalist. The most sacred sentimental memories are reawakened for the moment, and old conditions of mind are reinduced. Where is my wandering boy tonight? Brings forth tears to many a one to whom the memory of mother is sacred. And the preaching that the mother is dwelling in a state of bliss beyond the skies from which the unconverted child is cut off unless he professes faith serves to move many to action for the time being. The element of fear is also invoked in the revival. Not so much as formerly, it is true, but still to a considerable extent and more subtly, the fear of a sudden death in an unconverted condition is held over the audience, and why not now, why not tonight, is asked him, accompanied by the hymn, Oh, Why Do You Wait, Dear Brother, as Davenport says. It is well known that the employment of symbolic images immensely increases the emotion of an audience. The vocabulary of revivals abounds in them. The cross, the crown, the angel band, hell, heaven. Now vivid imagination and strong feeling and belief are states of mind favorable to suggestion as well as to impulsive action. It is also true that the influence of a crowd, largely in sympathy with the ideas suggested, is thoroughly coercive or intimidative upon the individual sinner. There is considerable professed conversion, which results in the beginning from little more than this form of social pressure and which may never develop beyond it. Finally, the inhibition of all extraneous ideas is encouraged in revival assemblies, both by prayer and speech. There is, therefore, extreme sensitiveness to suggestion. When to these conditions of negative consciousness on the part of an audience, there has been added a conductor of the meetings who has a high hypnotic potential, such as Wesley or Finney, or who is only a thoroughly persuasive and magnetic personality, such as Whitefield, there may easily be an influence exerted upon certain individuals of a crowd which closely approaches the abnormal or thoroughly hypnotic. When this point is not reached, there is still a great amount of highly acute thought, normal suggestibility to be reckoned with. The persons who show signs of being influenced are then labored with by either the revivalist or his co-workers. They are urged to surrender their will and leave it all to the Lord. They are told to give yourself up to God now, right now, this minute, or to only believe now and you shall be saved, or won't you give yourself to Jesus, etc. They are exhorted and prayed with, arms are placed around their shoulders, and every art of emotional persuasive suggestion is used to make the sinner give up. Starbuck, in his The Psychology of Religion, relates a number of instances of the experiences of converted persons at revivals. One person wrote as follows, "My will seemed wholly at the mercy of others, particularly of the revivalist. There was absolutely no intellectual element. It was pure feeling. There followed a period of ecstasy. I was bent on doing good and was eloquent in appealing to others. The state of moral exaltation did not continue. it was followed by a complete relapse from Orthodox religion. Davenport has the following to say in reply to claim that the old methods of influencing converts at a revival have passed away with the crude theology of the past. I lay particular stress upon this matter here because while the employment of irrational fear in revivals has largely passed away, the employment of the hypnotic method has not passed away. There has rather been a recrudescence and a conscience strengthening of it because the old prop of terror is gone. And it cannot be too vigorously emphasized that such a force is not a spiritual force in any high and clear sense at all, but is rather uncanny and psychic and obscure. And the method itself needs to be greatly refined before it can ever be of any spiritual benefit whatsoever. It is thoroughly primitive and belongs with the animal and instinctive means of fascination. In this bald, cruel form, the feline employs it upon the helpless bird and the Indian medicine man upon the ghost dance votary. When used, as it often has been, upon little children who are naturally highly suggestible, it has no justification whatever and is mentally and morally injurious in the highest degree. I do not see how violent emotional throes and the use of suggestion in its crude forms can be made serviceable even in the case of hardened sinners, and certainly with large classes of the population of employment of this means is nothing but psychological malpractice. We guard with intelligent care against quackery in physiological obstetrics. It would be well if a sterner training and prohibition hedged about the spiritual obstetrician whose functioning it is to guide the far more delicate process of the new birth. So a couple questions, well, one question and then another thought to think about here. Do the ends justify the means? Let's say you know that your thing or your path or your philosophy or whatever is just the right thing for everyone. Does that justify us using whatever means we can to influence someone else to follow that path? Interesting thought to think about. Here's another interesting thought to think about that I think ties into what we're talking about here. You know, Anthony Robbins, our book of the month, Awaken the Giant Within, he's big on the two greatest motivators of human beings are pain and pleasure, or another way to state it, hope of gain, fear of loss, right? And we've talked about this on this mastermind before, but what's the ultimate hope of gain? What about like, you know, everlasting heaven, glory, you know, like a pure joy in the afterlife? That's like a pretty big hope of gain, right? And then what's like the ultimate fear of loss? Well, burning in a fiery pit for eternity, that's pretty scary, right? So now I'm not saying that these two places don't exist. I'm not saying that at all. But what I'm saying is if you wanted to manipulate someone and you wanted to find the ultimate hope of gain and the ultimate fear of loss, wouldn't those be two, you know, tools that you might be able to use? Just something to be aware of, right? Something to be aware of. There's a quote here on the preceding page. Let me read this. It says, "You have no fear of competition from the person who says, I'm not paid to do this and I'll not do it. He will never be a dangerous competitor for your job. But watch out for the fellow who remains at his work until it is finished and performs a little more than is expected of him, for he may challenge you at the post and pass you at the grandstand." So let me check the time here. We've got a few more minutes. Let's get a little bit further here. He writes, "Some who favor the methods of the revival, but who also recognize the fact that mental suggestion plays a most important part in the phenomena thereof, hold that the objections similar to those here advanced are not valid against the methods of the revival. Inasmuch as mental suggestion, as is well known, may be used for good purposes as well as bad, for the benefit and uplifting of people as well as in the opposite direction. This being admitted, these good folks argue that mental suggestion in the revival is a legitimate method or weapon of attack upon the stronghold of the devil. But this argument is found to be defective when examined in its effects and consequences. In the first place, it would seem to identify the emotional, neurotic, and hysterical mental states induced by revival methods with the spiritual uplift and moral regeneration, which is the accompaniment of true religious experience. It seeks to place the counterfeit on par with the genuine, the baleful glare of the rays of the psychic moon with the invigorating and animating rays of the spiritual sun. It seeks to raise the hypnotic phase to that of the spiritual mindedness of man. To those who are familiar with the two classes of phenomena, there is a difference as wide as that between the poles existing between them. As a straw showing how the wind of the best modern religious thought is blowing, we submit the following from the volume entitled Religion and Miracle from the pen of Reverend Dr. George A. Gordon, Pastor Emeritus of the New Old South Church of Boston. And I think that's a good place for us to pause. We're 29 minutes in, so let's pause in the reading for now. And let's chew on what we've been given thus far together here as a community and think about some of this stuff and process some of these ideas. You know, I think this is just fascinating information. I don't know if you guys have ever like made a serious study of various religious sects that have popped up from time to time. If you haven't, you might look into the Shakers this gal named Anne. I forget her last name, but you can read on Wikipedia about that. There's all sorts of really fascinating different religious sects that have popped up, and some just really interesting stories and just fascinating things to read about. I mean, if you're looking for something kind of just interesting to read, make that a study for a few days or a day or something, and you'll find some just really fascinating stuff. But the thing that I wanted to share before we kind of kick off before we open up the mastermind, I think here's a big thing to remember. Human beings tend to be influenced by emotion and then also by reason, right? Emotion and reason. And a lot of times you'll hear people say things like, well, gosh, you know, how do you feel? Like that's how you find truth is, how do you feel? Like, do you feel good? Do you feel a burning? Do you feel good? Like that's how you identify truth. And it seems like what Dr. Napoleon Hill has just walked us through, if what he's taught us is true, then it seems like feelings can be aroused, can't they? And feelings can be somewhat manipulated. And it seems like part of what he's telling us is to maybe not just totally abandon the feeling part of our decision-making process, but to make sure that we're including reason, both in our own decision-making process, and then also as we're endeavoring to influence other people, appeal to maybe emotion and reason, right? Not just emotion, not just through manipulative emotion. I like to say to myself, this is my own personal belief, that God gave me a head and a heart for a reason, right? If he wanted me to just be guided only by my emotion, then maybe I wouldn't have a head. But I do have a head, and I do have the ability to think, and I do have the ability to ask questions, and I do have the ability to reason. So why would I not use that in combination with my heart as I continue moving forward in life and business, striving to do the best that I can to find happiness and success for myself and also the people around me? So some food for thought, guys. I'm excited to hear what's on your mind. What is this stirred up? Is this just like totally crazy information to be thinking about, you know, on our road to success? I'm curious to know what your thoughts are. So keep in mind, it's not a company-specific mastermind. So please no mention of company names, system names, leader names, unless leaders are a part of our community here. And brevity and relevance, always appreciated in your comments. One moment.
Hey, how you doing?
Star 6, who's first? Thought I heard someone popping out there.
Paul Hutchins, Sean Canty, how are you?
Hey, what's up, Sean? How you doing, sir?
Doing well. Good morning. So the last little bit you said there, before you started reading again, about whether or not influence can be used a good or bad way or something like that. I've actually been listening to Jordan Belfort, you know, the Wolf of Wall Street, and just this morning listened to one of his YouTube videos. He says, you know, tonality and words of influence and all that stuff, and I'm paraphrasing here, there's absolutely nothing wrong with using them because you'll get the people that want to be there with you, you know, for example, in business, and you'll also, it won't attract those that don't want to be there. And he said, you know, based on his experience that he went to jail for, like, you should never use it in a bad way. And, you know, always, if you're going to use influence, then you use it for good, and that's it. So that's just the thought I had on that.
Or you might end up in jail. I love it.
Yeah, that's a possibility.
Oh, awesome, Sean. Thanks for sharing that with us. Appreciate that.
All right. Yep.
Star 6, who's next? Come on out.
Hey, Paul Hutchings.
Hey, soul sister. How you doing, Mary Tucker?
I'm doing so good.
And this creates an instant reaction with me, because people who study hypnosis have to really question these ideas at length. And it gives you a certain insight, and I want everyone to take it seriously, these reflections that we're having. When you said, do the ends justify the means, I want to point out that the ends never justify the means. And the reason that is because when you say if something is for someone's own good, is it okay to trick or manipulate or to coerce or to use all these different ways of influencing people? And the fact of the matter is if any of us was God, we wouldn't be here in this plane at this level at this time. And so it's really dangerous. It's really dangerous to ever assume that we know what is best. You know, hypnotherapists have to guard against things like most suggestions that you form could be harmful if interpreted incorrectly. That's why it is so important. And I want you to think about how these are formed. If I said, well, everyone should drink more water, that's a healthy habit. So even though this guy came to me for weight loss, I'm going to give him suggestions that he's thirsty and he always wants to drink plenty of cool, crystal clear water. But what if this guy had a heart condition? What if he was retaining fluids? And what if drinking large amounts of water were innately harming him? And I have taken it upon myself to exert my authority that he needs to be drinking tons of water because I assume it's for his highest good. That is why in advanced hypnotherapy suggestions, you would say, okay, Tom, you may now begin to respond to three new habits that are going to elevate your level of health. I can't know what those are. Perhaps you'll drink more water. Perhaps your body is guiding you to eat more healthy fats instead of fewer fats. I can't know how you're going to interpret this wisdom, but between you and the all that is, you're going to work out three powerful new habits to elevate your level of health. And do you understand that when somebody is in a deep state of hypnosis, it is leaving it to the wisdom of their soul, their intuition, all the information of the universe that they may have available to them. And for us to assume that we know that this political ideal or this health regime or this personality characteristic is going to be good for them. If you say to somebody, you're going to be relentless, you're going to be unstoppable, and then they start stalking their girlfriend because they've decided that they need to be relentless. I'm just saying every good suggestion and influence can become bad. And we don't know where that line is. And that's why we have to be incredibly careful to allow people to work things out for a way that is in their highest good, based on the guidance of their soul, because we are not above it all. And so we don't have the right information to make those decisions for people. Love you, man. Back to you.
Wow. Meher, thank you, powerful thoughts. And, you know, the relentless thing, like, what if someone, like, just abandoned their family? Because they're like, I'm going to be relentless on my goals, right? That would be another probably not the best interpretation of that. So love those thoughts. The human will, the force unseen, the offspring of a deathless soul. Seems like there's something sacred about that. Seems like there's something very sacred about that. Star Six, who's next? Come on out.
All right. It's Lori Sue from Wenatchee.
Hey, Lori Sue. How are you?
Hey.
I love saying that because it rhymes. And I want to know.
It sounds good. Mahara Tucker, I just love her words of wisdom. I absolutely agree with that. I think it's just a gift for us to have agency. And I think when we allow others to have their agency, even if we don't think it's right, and you know, it ends up being a better thing all the way around. And I was thinking about when you were talking about just choice, well, not just choice, but whether we should influence others in a negative way. And I know that when we stop the war within us, that ends the war outside. I was thinking about the gentleman that talked about, I think it's the Wolf of Wall Street that he was talking about. I can't remember that guy's name, but I listened to an interview with him. And going to jail was a bummer, right? Going to prison was a bummer. But the bigger thing, it sounds like to me, and I don't know if it was expressed in the movie because I didn't see the movie, but the message I got was that it harmed him far more to make those choices that were detrimental to others around him, because it was more detrimental to him. You know, in the end, it ended up harming him way more. And I think we can really learn from that to choose the very best for others. And if, and most of the time we don't know what that is, the very best for them, but they do, like Mahara was saying. I really believe that, that there's a knower within each of us that knows the very best path for us and what our real purpose is. And when we align with that, we're, you know, we have the most joy. So I just appreciate the reading today. It was awesome. I'm so glad I can be on live again and feel all this energy, because it really does make a difference. And I appreciate everybody, especially you, Paul. Thanks so much.
It's Jess from New York.
Appreciate you, Lori Sue. The knower within. Beautiful word. Jesse, go ahead.
Hey. Thank you for the accolades, Paul. That really, I do truly appreciate it. And parts of those words actually were influenced by Mahara when she has read her Major Definite Purpose. So I can't take all the credit for that, but that's what this whole family is all about and how we inspire each other. So I just wanted to say that. And I am doing, or I did, the book by audio for the Awaken the Giant Within. And what I found was, though, I couldn't really go and just randomly listen to this as I ran around, because there were exercises and I needed to do those exercises, and they have already helped and influenced me and how I'm moving forward. So if you're reading the book and you don't find the time to do the exercises, you're cheating yourself out of getting to where you want to go. So that's all I can say about that, because I have found that whenever I've read books and they have exercises in them and they don't, and I don't do them, it's not the same. It's not going to work quite the same. So I just wanted to just stress that a bit. And this topic, Paul, just gets me angry. It really stirs up a lot of emotion for me. Oh, my goodness. And something that, you know, you talked about manipulation and psychological malpractice. Boy, that resonated for me. It just like, oh, this really is, you know, this was me when I was very young. And we were, I guess, quote unquote, religious. And it was Sunday school in the morning, Sunday church at night. There was something like Girl Scouts that was called Pioneer Girls. That was on Wednesday. There was Wednesday prayer meeting. And I was enveloped with all of this influence, I suppose you would call it. And I believed everything all people from church said. They went to church. They believed in God. They were God-fearing. So they had to be telling the truth. Little did I know that they're humans. But I was so naive, so vulnerable. You just accepted everything everyone said. And that was my world. That's all I knew. And it changed the way I did things, because the fear of God was in me. Guilt was like over the top. And so it was around, I guess, when I was about 16, 17. And I did things because of guilt, not because of my heart and what I felt and what I wanted. And I got married when I was 18 years old out of guilt. So not good. And so I walked away from the church in the fact that I was angry, and it caused me to do things that I knew that I wasn't totally wrong about. And I actually walked away, you know, from the church feeling like I was damaged goods. These were my only alternatives. So I believe in God and totally have that belief. That's strong. But as far as organized, you know, religion, I have a problem with it, because I find, wow, yeah, isn't this a great way to control people to do what you want them to do and not allow them to use their own mind and find what we are all finding is what and who am I? Go deep and let's find out who I am, not to be just a follower and find our purpose. My goodness, because what we're doing is what they should be teaching in church. And this is how I feel, but I'm just saying it stirs up a lot, and it is psychological malpractice in my mind, and I am just grateful for this call to keep me on track and to help me aspire to the best that I can be and that all of you can be. Be grateful. Be so grateful that we have found this, and this goes so far beyond. And yet we're still in alignment with our higher power or whatever is bigger than who we are, but now we know who we are. So back to you, Paul.
Love you, Jesse. Love you, Jesse. Great thoughts. Thank you for
Paul
sharing.
Paul Hutchins, Anthony Williams from beautiful Clearwater, Florida.
Okay, we got Anthony and then Caro.
Thank you.
Caro can go first if you want.
Thank you, Anthony. In defense of churches, Jesse, not all churches are like the one you went to. There are some churches, it's like seek and you shall find. If one church is not right for you, there is one that's out there. Also, I went to see The Shack. I've been trying to talk about The Shack for about, ever since I saw it Tuesday at my $1.50 movie theater. It is a way of engaging. The first thing when I was watching it, I go, oh, this movie is making me breathe. This movie is making me relax. This movie is making me think. This movie is engaging my heart. You know, it's a music. I mean, it was a movie that really touched all your senses. And I can suggest to Jessie, from her seeing this movie, she'll have a different concept about religion and God. But it was profound. I thought it was very slow moving for me in this electronic tech computer world where everything is instant. The movie just causes you to slow down because it's so beautiful to look at and to watch. And it was like taking a walk or going to the mountains. And it was just a wonderful movie. And I said, this is such a wonderful tool to get people who would never think about God or anti-God. And it just expanded my mind as well as other minds. And I just wanted to put that out there. Please go see The Shack. It's a wonderful movie. And I hope everyone is having a magically delicious day today. Thank you. I mean, go ahead, Anthony. Love you.
I love that. Magically delicious. Good morning, Paul Hutchins. Good morning, Think and Grow Rich family. First and foremost, it's a great morning to be alive. I am so excited to be on the Think and Grow Rich Mastermind. And such an interesting conversation this morning about influence and how it can be used for wrong. And I love what Mahara shared about us realizing our own conditions of where we're actually at. You know, people that are using manipulation and people that are using all type of tactics to influence people that may not be for their own good, but may only line their own pockets. It's problematic. And, you know, you really can't cheat the law of compensation. So whatever you do is going to come back to you. Another thing, one of the things that I've heard growing up, and, you know, a very wise man told me one time, is that the longer that you live, the more you realize you don't know. And, you know, that you have much more to learn. And, you know, when you actually think that you do know, you know, you really put yourself inside of a box of limiting your view and limiting your perspective of the world and of other people. I believe our creator, infinite intelligence, the things that we pray to and, you know, things that are outside of ourselves, I believe he all gave us free will to exercise our own minds, to exercise our own will. And how dare anybody, you know, try to say, I know what your will is.
That's ludicrous. I mean, that's just crazy. I don't understand that sort of thinking. But nowadays we do have religions, we do have people and individuals that, you know, think like that. But the law of compensation definitely will take care of them. I really don't think that we have to, you know, do anything about it. You know, I think that'll be evened out because people, you know, they won't be controlled for too much longer once they realize that their own minds are free and, you know, and basically that they can exercise their own will. So I just wanted to add that. Everybody have a blessed day. Back to you, Paul Hutchins.
Beautiful thoughts, Anthony. Thank you, man.
Hi.
Good stuff.
Good morning.
Bill Moist.
Hello, is that Karen?
It is. Bill can go ahead if he wants.
No, go ahead, Karen. I'll wait for you.
Thank you, Bill. First of all, Paul, you've got to save me. You've got to please help me. I checked on the replay, and I don't think yesterday went up. At least it didn't on my computer, and I have been dying for it because there are several things that I was going to make my own transcript of things that people said that were just fabulous, and I'm looking and I'm thinking, oh no.
Yeah, I'll get that up today. I apologize. I was under the weather yesterday, so I just kind of took the whole day off. So sorry about that. I'll get that up today.
Yep. Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. And thanks for coming out from under the weather. I want to say in defense of Jesse, I just appreciate what she said. For those of us who look back now and find that what we believe to be the only true religion, and I need to mention here that, you know, my whole life I thought that was mine and that was the only one, and it was certainly the only one that would declare that, but actually many, many, many religions declare that. You know, there's a mindset that can come from the idea that you have the only truth. This convicted believer thing that you talked about two or three days ago is something that can happen when you think, hey, you know, I don't know, there's something about me. I can't figure it out. I don't know what it was, but, you know, I was placed in the only true religion on the face of the earth. And so, you know, I really don't need to listen to these other heathen folks. Didn't pay any attention to them. And even worse, I feel, is if children by rote are taught that and then taught to speak that aloud in front of crowds of people from the time that they're a very tiny, tiny child, can hardly talk, because there's just so many things that get imbued, entangled with that, as I thought Jesse did a good job of explaining that, you know, you can come out from that kind of an idea just all balled up with how, I look at so many things that I think I really, really strive to find my limiting beliefs, and I find that those are very difficult. I don't know if you remember me telling you asking you several months ago, probably a year or two ago now, as fast as time goes, you know, had you ever heard that the subconscious, my subconscious mind is my body, which is something that Candace Pert, as a scientist, believed, I'm sure, until she died. Alrighty, thanks, bye.
No, great, great thoughts, Karen. Thank you so much for sharing that. Really interesting things to think about for sure. Love what you shared. Bill, go ahead, sir.
Good morning, brother. How are you today?
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm awesome. Good morning, family. Well, yesterday, Jill and I went to a meeting in Dallas called Success North Dallas, and it appeared to be a group of people that really did care for each other. It was primarily entrepreneurs, business owners, executives. The group, there's probably, I would guess, maybe 400 people there at that meeting. But there really seemed to be a real caring for different members, which was kind of cool. But the speaker was a man by the name of Jeffrey Hazlett. He was the judge on The Apprentice. So he's a good friend of the president. But he started something called C-Suite Network, and it's for business executives and companies that do over $5 million in sales. And the part of the purpose there is really to inspire them to use their positions really for the improvement of mankind and the betterment of their employees. And but C-suite TV and C-suite podcasts are real popular. In fact, he said they're going to be broadcasting at the airports. And what they'll be doing is they'll be broadcasting according to the location of the airport. They'll have a different channel for each part of the airport. So watch for C-suite TV. It'll be kind of interesting. But his talk was, how do you sell to people in the C-suite? And, you know, it really boiled down to a really simple idea. You have to understand the personality type first, you know. And so he talked about the different personality types, and then that response, then we respond to them accordingly, which is kind of old school idea, but maybe that should be incorporated in all our business. But the story that really moved us was that out of the C-suite club is what they started called the Hero Club. And it was a Hero Club, private club of CEOs. And what inspired that was a man by the name of Bill Ryan. He sold his technology company for $24 billion. He had no children and no heirs. And so he shared the sale proceeds with his employees. And on that one day, there was more millionaires made than ever before in the history of America. And so hundreds of employees showed up at a theater where he was attending to tell them how he changed their mind. There was one man who was a janitor who got $1 million, and he was talking about how he's going to use that to help his parents who had some illness illnesses. But you know, what a great story! You know, what an incredible person to benefit all the employees. So anyway, I was really inspired by that story, and I hope you might like it too, Paul. So I love all of y'all, and back to you, Paul.
That's fascinating. What's that guy's name? Bill Ryan, you said?
Bill Ryan, yeah.
Bill Ryan. Okay, interesting.
So yeah, technology company. I forget what it's called, but he sold for $24 billion, which was a record at that time.
Wow. That's amazing. Yeah, definitely have to look more into that. Thanks for sharing, Bill. Appreciate that.
You bet.
Star 6, who's next? Come on out.
Mr. Paul Titan Hutchins.
Hey, I've been thinking about you during this call, man. How you doing, Chris?
I am doing great. I will be brief. You know, this is an interesting call. And, you know, Jesse is always, you know, I know she's a remarkable woman. She always comes out and shares some just great, you know, great information. But one of the things that I was thinking about was that, you know, when you hear these names, all of these names have one thing in common. And I'll name these names: Donald Trump, Barack Obama, Martin Luther King, Hitler, Chavez, and I could name more, but we don't have that much time. One of the things that all of these individuals have in common, and it ties into what Jesse was talking about, as a matter of fact, is that all of these men are and were marketing geniuses in their own right. And I was thinking about that as we're going over this chapter, which is such a powerful chapter, is because in order to be a marketing genius, good or bad, because I named some individuals that you could say they were good, you could say they were bad. You have to know how to think. And good or bad, the individuals that I just named, they are marketing genius, and their minds are so well developed and were so well developed on how to think that in order for them to know how to think, they have to know what the masses think. In other words, it's about what to the masses, and it's about how to a select few individuals that sometimes are manipulating you and manipulating us in bad ways. I'll give you a little illustration of that, and it ties in. I'm just saying this for illustration purposes. And we all watch it. I call it an idiot box, but when Barack Obama was running for president, here's the first black president. I'm watching what's going on. But this just for illustration purposes. At a rally, John McCain was giving a rally, and a lady stood up, and she was rambling on how Obama was a Muslim. Now listen to this. Now he takes the microphone. Now the funny part was this. He takes the microphone away and says, "No, ma'am, we just disagree." But this was the funny part, and this is how the masses, this is about what. And this is how you have, we all have to be careful about the manipulation. And I really do. I go to church. I think church is the main goal of religions. And I think this is the downfall of humanity. Churches teach people what to think and not how to think. And our minds are not developed. And we need to become leaders and start thinking. But look, when he took the microphone back from the lady, and after she called him a Muslim and he said, no, ma'am, she said no. Like asking him a question, like, I thought I was supposed to be thinking like this. And I thought that was so funny and powerful from how what we're talking about today is really, you know, it's our quest to learn, and we have to learn how to think and not what to think, because the masters of people in the world, financially, politically, and socially, they get to a point to where their minds are so well developed that they can manipulate the masses, because they know that you will constantly embrace what as opposed to how. And I just really wanted to share that. I know we're out of time, but I was just touched to say that after Jesse came out and made those profound statements, I think we have to really embrace how and not what, because individuals that are manipulating the masses, they are always developing their minds of how you, of what people think, because they know how to think. And they're manipulating us many times, and they don't even agree with what they're telling us. But they know you. They know you think like that. I hope he does a great job. He launched his campaign, our president of the United States, calling Obama a Muslim. I don't even think he believes he's a Muslim. But I think he knows that there's a large segment of people that believe that, and he manipulates the mind, and he's able to create success because of what you think, and he thinks totally different. Just wanted to share that back to you.
And so what if he is a Muslim? Right? Like, no one stops to think about, like, no, like, who cares? You know, like, what are his values? What are his principles? Oh, that's great stuff. Chris, thank you, man. Hold on here, guys. I think that's a perfect way to end it, guys. Get out there. Make it a beautiful day. Take action. Do something today to move your dreams forward. Love you guys. Thanks for being here and making this a great mastermind. We'll see you back here tomorrow morning on the Think and Grow Rich Mastermind. Take care and bye for now.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you. 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 Thank you